It's nice to be with you again, and ask that you would pray for me during this next series of messages and so on. Appreciate the opportunity to come and be with you and share, but I do need God's help in studying the Word and bringing it to you. I'd like you to turn tonight to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Moses is not able to go into the promised land, as you know, but he gives them a second giving of the law in this book of Deuteronomy. And as they look forward to stepping into a whole new situation in the promised land, here we are at the beginning of a new year, and I think there's some very appropriate things that God has for us that we can learn from this passage. So please give attention now as I read God's Word. I'll be reading from Deuteronomy chapter 8. I'm going to read the entire chapter as our scripture lesson. And this is Moses speaking to the people of Israel. Be careful to follow every command I'm giving you today, so that you may live and increase and may enter the and possess the land that the Lord promised on oath to your forefathers. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the desert these 40 years to humble you and to test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. He humbled you, causing you to hunger and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your fathers had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothes did not wear out. Your feet did not swell during these 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord your God disciplines you. Observe the commands of the Lord your God, walking in his ways and revering him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with streams and pools of water, with springs flowing in the valleys and hills, a land with wheat and barley, vines and fig trees, pomegranates and olive oil and honey, a land where bread will not be scarce and you will lack nothing, a land where the rocks are iron and you can dig copper out of the hills. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, his decrees that I'm giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large and your silver and gold increase, and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud, and you will forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. He led you through the vast and dreadful desert, that thirsty and waterless land, with its venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought you water out of a hard rock. He gave you manna to eat in the desert, something your fathers had never known, to humble and to test you, so that in the end it might go well with you. You may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth, and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your forefathers as it is today. If you ever forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and worship and bow down to them, I testify against you today that you will surely be destroyed. Like the nations the Lord destroyed before you, so you will be destroyed for not obeying the Lord your God. May God instruct us from his word as we meditate on it and some of the precepts that are there for our learning. What I'd like to speak from this passage about tonight would be perspectives for the new year. That is, certain truths and certain thoughts that if we can embrace them, hold them, and really grasp them, they will really help us to have a happy new year, to have a good year in 2012. Now, I think when God divide, or I guess God didn't divide up our time in weeks and months, although the moon does control that. It's beneficial for us to have divisions, like we come to the end of the year and we sort of stop and we say, now, how did we do last year? What were all those things that happened and so on? And we kind of project ourselves into the new year. And I think there's great value in that as God helps us to evaluate kind of where our life is at this point and where it's going. And as these years pass quickly, we do need to stop and ask ourselves what has been and where are we going. And as you say, you're going to have a congregational meeting where as a congregation you think of those very things. What is our plan for the future and where will we be going? Well, as I said, Moses is talking to these people as they're on the threshold of moving into the promised land. And this is going to be a whole new world for them, a whole new experience for them. And he's reminding them, he wants them to have the right perspectives as they enter this new situation so that it will be a blessing to them. I think the whole book of Deuteronomy does that, but chapter 8 sort of summarizes many of those thoughts, and that's where we want to focus our attention tonight. Now, actually, the future is unknown to us. We really don't know what a day will bring forth, let alone a whole year, as we think about the year to come. The world is changing rapidly. We know that, and we don't know what experiences are going to happen in the country in which we live, what kind of leadership will be rising up. All of that's so much in the news right now as to what kind of leader we might have or whether we'll have more of the leader that is now in the presidency and so on. But if we have, as Christian people, if we can get our perspective in place, then I think no matter what happens tomorrow or what happens this whole next year, that we will be in good shape to deal with it and to be able to cope with it. God doesn't want us to be afraid of the future. I don't think God wants us to fret about it. I think there are people who do that. They don't know what is out there and they try to make their plans and so on. But they do it kind of in this worry situation. That's not, I think, what the Scripture teaches us to do. We are to learn to trust God and to depend upon His directives to us. So the first perspective that I want to mention from this passage would be that God's guidance is available to you and that you are to follow it. Pretty simple, pretty basic, but it's very much basic to having a good year. Whatever this year holds, this fact, I think, will keep your mind stable. It will keep it steady for the future. You're never left in the dark, and this is the beautiful thing. Even though we don't know what's coming, we have the directives in the Word of God which guide us no matter what happens. We have them written down in a book. God gave us a book that has this very much before us. We can see that Moses puts his emphasis there in verse 1. He says to them, "Be careful to follow every command that I'm giving you, so that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land." So he focuses on the commands that he is giving them. And these commands, of course, are not his idea. He received these commands from the Lord. And he says, if you follow, he's basically saying, if you follow the game plan that God has laid out for you, then you will have his blessing in the days to come. He really feels this is important. Back in chapter 6, verse 1, he says almost the same thing. He says, "These are the commands, decrees, the laws that the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you're crossing the Jordan to possess." So these are God's commands given to Moses. Moses then passes them on to the people, and God recorded his will in the book for us who live much later. so that we will have those commands as well. And this guidance is there. That's the point I want to make. You have it. You can't say, I don't know what to do in this situation, because you have the Word of God, you have it available to you, and that is a perspective that will help you. Now, you're going to face a lot of decisions, as all of us do, nearly every day of our life, I guess. We're making choices, we're deciding these things and those things that come up in our experience and so on. Some of you may be facing major decisions in your life, maybe marriage, maybe job situations, all of those things are there. How will you know what's right? How will you know which decision to make as you face these different things? I'm saying the Word of God is there. You have it available to you. You need to get to know it and follow it. But then somebody might argue, well, the specifics aren't there. In other words, should I buy a new car? Where should I get a job? Or where should I live? Which person should I marry? All of these questions come up, and we may look in the Scripture and say, where is the direction for me in that specific decision that I have to make in this situation? Well, I think it's true the specifics aren't always there. But as you absorb the teachings of the Word of God, as they more become to saturate your mind and heart, you develop what I would like to call mature Christian judgment. It's coming from the Word of God. It's coming because you now know the commands of God. And we develop, as Christian people, a mature Christian judgment. And then we are to exercise that judgment when we come to the specifics. Whether I'm going to do this, I lean back on the wider precepts that God has taught me from the Word of God in all of that. There's a quote from Dr. Hay, who was a member of the executive staff of the Sudan Interior Mission, and he's talking about this very thing. Let me share it with you. And it's a fairly good quote here. As mature sons of God, he says, who know what God's ultimate purposes are, who are exercising faith in His sovereignty, who are guided by His scriptures and by the Holy Spirit through prayer, we are expected to please Him by accepting the responsibility He has given to us. We must recognize that part of God's plan is for us to make our own decisions, at least some of them. He expects us to choose as mature sons within the limits of His revealed will. He does not wish to treat us as infants who must have all the specifics spelled out for us. The grown son, entrusted with the responsibility from his father, makes those decisions himself within the framework of what he knows has his father's approval. I think that's pretty good judgment. That's a pretty good guide for us in making decisions about the future. So I'm suggesting that we have the guidance that we need. It actually says in Scripture that God has given us everything we need for life and godliness. Everything we need is with us. And we have that. And therefore, if we can develop this mature Christian judgment, then the decisions we make during this new year will be pleasing to our Heavenly Father and will be ultimately a blessing in our own life as well. So that's the first thing. God's way is the best way, and I'd like to say that 10 times because it's so important. God's way is the best way. Decide to do it God's way. I don't care what the decision is. Decide to do it God's way, and you'll find that to be the best way. The second perspective that I want to mention is that God at times does allow testing to His own children. He will allow testing. Look at verse 2 in Deuteronomy 8. Moses says to God's people, remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the desert these 40 years to humble you and, here's the word, to test you in order that you may he may know what is in your heart, whether or not you will keep his commands. So God has allowed for these Israelites to experience testing. And in the new year, if you face some hard times, don't think that God has left you. If you're one of his children, he doesn't ever do that. He hasn't left you. He is simply testing you to strengthen you. And may I say, this is a standard experience for every Christian person. Standard experience, not extraordinary, standard experience. Even Jesus, when he was on the earth, learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Jesus himself, it says that of him. And the scripture also says in Hebrews, "My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines those he loves and punishes those whom everyone he accepts as a son." Hebrews 12, 5 and 6. We know that muscles in our body are strengthened when they are exercised. And the thing that will develop those muscles the best is when you put strain on them. And so we have these weight rooms all over the place where people are going in there and pulling these things, and the weights have to be lifted and down and up and down and so on. And they're strengthening these muscles. They're strengthening how? By stressing them, by putting strain on them and even pain sometimes on them. And if you're a runner, you run up the hill, because running up the hill will strengthen those muscles and make them stronger. So the principle is there that God, when he brings the test on you, is doing it in order that you might develop and develop strength in those muscles, those spiritual muscles that are part of your life. Howard Hendricks put it this way: God is interested in development of your faith, and he knows that faith only develops under pressure. It only develops in the crucible. So when God brings these hard things, and you think about the Israelites out in the wilderness, they were experiencing very, very difficult things. I would say they were in the crucible. The going was hard. The days were hot. They didn't have food, adequate food and water, until God would supply it through the manna. Those were hard times, I think. And God kept them in that situation for a long period of time. And why does he say he did that? To know what was in their hearts. Somehow the test that God allows to come into your life, that test will find out what kind of person you are and whether or not you have that spiritual strength that you need to have in order to carry that through. To some degree, I'm sure God does that with you and me. And so we must remember that if we have our perspective right, that is, we understand this is how God works with his children, then the hard thing will come into your life, and it'll give you a poise in the midst of that and a stability of life so that you don't fall apart. You don't just lose it or somehow deny your Lord or go back on his serving him. I don't speak from a lot of experience in that, I have to say. God has not put me through a lot of hard tests, not like some people I know. And I praise him for that. But I'm sure there's a test coming. He's not going to leave me alone with that. It's going to come sometime. And as I get older, the tests get harder and so on. But it is something, I think, if we have the right perspective and we understand that God doesn't promise to make everything smooth. I may start this new year and say, I want to be more faithful. I want to be more diligent in my prayers and so on. And I think to myself, maybe if I do that, everything should just smooth out and I'll have a really great time this year. What I'm saying is God will test you to strengthen you. He's never trying to destroy you. It says he doesn't do that. Satan might try that, but he only allows that test to come in order to reveal what's in our hearts and to make us stronger. in those situations. And so in a way, we can praise God for that, for the hard things. Look at verse 5. He actually says that. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord your God disciplines you. There it is. There are going to be experiences like that. But as I say, perspective will make all the difference. Understand how God's working with you, and you'll be much stronger in the situation. The third thing I want to mention tonight is that God is always with us, providing care and oversight of our life. He will always be beside us. He always is beside us, and He assures us of that in many, many places in Scripture. Moses himself, when he began to go, God says, I will be with you. Joshua, when he's ready to go, I will be with you. Anyone who felt like, you know, this is a big task and I don't know whether I can handle it, God says, I will be with you. In fact, he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That means that in every situation in this coming year, you have God standing at your side as your companion and helper. Moses, in verse 3, calls them to remember the providential care that they had received in the desert. It says, He humbled you, causing you to hunger, and then feeding you with the manna, which neither you nor your fathers had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. And your clothes didn't wear out and your feet didn't swell. So God basically was there with them in each situation. They grumbled a lot, which they shouldn't have done. In fact, they were punished for that because God was there. God was with them, and they had that kind of help. There's one thing that these people that went through the desert experience would certainly learn, and that was daily dependence upon God. They would learn to be dependent on God Himself. When they prayed, give us this day our daily bread, that was a real prayer, because the manna was enough for today, and if you tried to keep it over to have some for breakfast the next morning, it was spoiled. It was gone. You couldn't eat it. So every day they were dependent upon God, and the beauty is God was faithful. Every day the manna was there. Every day they had supply, and the water from the rock was provided. It mentions that God provided them this water from the rock. And the people would learn that He is dependable. He is reliable to care for me. And we need to have that perspective. You need to have that perspective as you enter this new year. As one writer put it this way, this was an effective reminder that the creature, and that's all of us, we're all creatures of God, the creature does not exist as a self-sufficient being sustained by the fruits of an earth which also existing and producing independently of God. He said, no. Man is ultimately and always dependent on the divine word which called him and his world into being. That's a good quote. It's in Him that we live and move and have our being. And we need to have that perspective, I think. There's a danger in the human heart to be terribly proud of what we've accomplished or to think that I can exist without God's help. I don't have to have Him because my bank account's okay, my job is secure, everything is set. I don't really need God to really care for me here. I think we've developed our science and technologies to a degree that we think we can solve every problem. But I just thought in relation to that, it's interesting to me that although we have wonderful technology today, you look at the world and you say, are the problems any better than they were 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 50 years ago? I think the problems are worse. At least judging from my lifetime, I would say the problems that we're facing are even more severe than were faced when I was a boy. So Moses warns them. He warns them in verse 10 here. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land He has given you. He's the one who has provided it. And then he says, be careful that you not forget the Lord your God. And then verse 17, you may say to yourself, my power, my strength, the strength of my hands has produced this wealth for me. But remember, it's God who gives you the power to get wealth. I think that's such an important verse. We really need to remember, I may think I have a job, but that job could be taken away in seconds. There's a guy over in Columbus that's had a very secure job. He's very well up in the company. And they told him 3 weeks ago, you're done. Your job is gone. This man has 9 children, I think it is. And now he is without a job, just like that. They just laid him off. I think they want to hire cheaper guys because his seniority in the company had given him a pretty good salary at that point. But he's facing now the difficulty of providing for his family. And we can't say my power and my wealth has given me all these things. It's God who gives us the power to get a job, to be able to work and to function some way that can earn a living and so on. So we may face uncertainties ahead, but the perspective that I pass on to you tonight is that God is right there. He's always there. This man is having to lean on that heavily at the moment. God has a purpose. God is with him. God has not forsaken him. He may be testing him, but he is certainly with him. And I want to say one other thing, one other perspective that will help us to have a good year to come, and that is that God has good things in store for his people. Looking on out to the future, God has good things in store for his people. I kind of like stories that end with, say, and they all lived happily ever after. That's the way I like my stories to end. And if I'm watching a detective story, I want the bad guy to be caught before the end of the hour. Okay? I want him brought to justice in that situation. And this gives me a perspective. I can watch pretty hard things in the show, you know, where he seems to be succeeding, if I know he's going to get it in the end or whatever. And what Moses basically tells these people, and it's a beautiful thought here, that as they go into the promised land, there's going to be a good land waiting for them. Can't get that paper to change. Look at verse 6. He says, observe the commands of the Lord your God, walking in his ways and reverencing him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with streams and pools of water, with springs flowing from the valleys and hills, with wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates and olive oil and all these beautiful things. So going through the desert, would it not sound pretty good to you to be in a place where the valley has springs of water and streams are flowing and there are trees that are green and bearing fruit and so on? It's really a beautiful picture. And this would help them tremendously to endure the trials which they're facing in the desert, the hard things that they're facing there, to have that perspective to look forward to in the end. And what I'd like to say is that God's people always have that perspective, always have that assurance. It's going to be right out there. It's going to be beautiful that God has given you. In verse 16 is another place we see this idea. Moses mentions the manna and so on, designed to humble them and test them. But then he says, he adds the word, so that in the end it might go well with you. In the end, it will go well with you. So going through a test on the, along the way, but it will be well with you, he says, in the end. And this is really something God wants us to do, to think long range, to think on out beyond today's experience, because today's experience may be hard. And I would say that the Christian is the one philosophy of life, the only philosophy of life, where things do live happily ever after. Think about that. This is a beautiful story that God is working out in our lives. God promises everlasting life, paradise in the presence of God. He goes to prepare a place for you, and if he goes and prepares a place, he will come back, receive you to himself, that where he is, you can be also. And in his presence is fullness of joy. At his right hand there are pleasures forevermore. And I think if we have that perspective, it's going to be right in the end. Paul said it this way in Romans 8:18, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. And verse 19 warns us that if we don't walk with God, I mean, those who walk with God have this expectation for the future. If you don't walk with God, he says there at the end of the chapter, if you ever forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and give up on this program, basically that's what he's saying, you'll be destroyed. That's the end of those who do not follow the Lord. So this gives us a tremendous sense of where our thoughts ought to be, where our mind ought to be, where our life ought to be. The Bible says whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever rejects the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. Those are the two destinies that are out there. And I thank God that there is this great expectation of blessing for God's own people. So here are the perspectives for the year. First of all, you have the guidance that you need for this year in the Word of God. Develop more and more your Christian judgment, your mature Christian judgment, so that the decisions you make will be right ones. Remember that God does bring testing times. He's not leaving you. He's still with you. In fact, that's the third perspective. He's always there, always beside you, always caring for you. That never fades. And then God has good things out there for his people in the end. That makes a beautiful story. That'll make a good new year as we move into it. Let's pray. Oh God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the precious Word of God that exposes us to these great truths which you have given to us. We thank you that you gave laws and commands to Moses to pass on to the people. And you have preserved those laws and commands for us so that we do know your will. You've even given us more knowledge in sending us the living Word, the Lord Jesus Christ, to show us in his life what our life ought to be. And then you give us a Savior in his great work of redemption, whereby we can know we can be accepted of you, we can be walking with you, and you have promised these wonderful things. You never leave us nor forsake us. You will supply all of our need according to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And thank you for that expectation in the future, where we know that you have a place prepared for your people, a place of joy and blessing, a place of springs in the valleys and fruit trees and all of these glorious things that the Israelites looked forward to in the Promised Land. Lord, we have a Promised Land, and we thank you for that. So bless us now as we enter this new year. Help us as we begin even tomorrow to make decisions. Help us to make those decisions wisely and do it God's way. We pray in Christ's precious name. Amen.